So the best thing is, like they said, just try to see that white line.
Whoa.
Good morning, York University. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's go ahead and stand as we praise the Lord this morning.
We are not that ready.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Singing alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Singing alleluia. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. You know the Lord liveth and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Jesus Christ, he died for me, and he took away my sins. I will live with him for eternity. You know the Lord liveth and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord. Say standing for our prayer and scripture by Drew Lugafet.
Okay, yeah. So if you will bow your heads and I'll say the prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for another great day to worship you and honor you. Lord, I pray that as we go through our classes and our sports, that we can just honor you and everything we do. Want to say thank you for giving us breath in our lungs to be able to worship you and glorify you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So if you will read the scripture from Galatians 6, 9. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now you guys may be seated.
Way to be ready there on the fly, Drew. Today's speaker comes to us all the way from Wisconsin. She is a writer of both poetry and prose. She is one of those happy, smiling faces you see when you walk into the Ark. She is everybody's favorite campus grandmother. Please give it up for Miss Deb Cleveland.
Am I on? Can you hear me? Okay, I have to stay behind this line or they say I'll buzz or something. So I have to stay right here. Okay. You know, yesterday when I got in chapel, you know that dream you have that you're lecturing in front of the class and you look down and you have no pants on? That's what I felt like yesterday. Yeah. But thank you. Thank you. I'm here. Great. All right. Home. I'm going to put that over here right now. I'll get back to it. Home. I want to tell you a story first. A few weeks ago at church, I met a lady, and we were, you know how you get to know people, and you chit-chat, and you tell them a little bit about yourself, and I told her a little about myself, and I was telling her about how my husband and I, we wanted to, when we retired, to get an RV and travel around and go live in one driveway at our son's house and be a pest, and then go to another son and in their driveway and be a pest, and other son in his driveway and be a pest, and bring our own bed with us. That's kind of what we wanted to do. But he didn't make it to retirement. And so a few years down the road, I told my boys, I said, I still want to get an RV. And I said, like they always say to me, okay, Mom. Every time I want to do something, it's okay, Mom. So they said, sure. So I did that. I have an RV, and I named her Tawanda. And you'll have to find out why that is. But Tawanda. And so this summer, Tawanda and I took off. When classes are done here, I head out, and I go to Wisconsin and Door County and Florida. But this summer, I lived in all three driveways for quite a while with grandbabies, you know, coming in. I got 10 of those, and it was pretty great. It was pretty great. So I was telling her that, and all of a sudden, she grabs my arm, and she says, "You are my spirit animal." That's good, right? I've never been anyone's spirit animal before. And so I thought, I wonder who my human spirit animal is. And I knew immediately who it was. She's a woman that I've never met. She lived 2,000 years ago. And I've read about her a lot in this book that I read a lot. Called the Bible, and out of the thousands and thousands and thousands of words in this book, she gets 84 of them. Now, Dr. Best will tell you in the Greek or Hebrew, there's probably 400 of those words, but in the New American Standard, there's 84. And so 84 words that tell her entire life story. And I knew that she is my spirit animal. But when you choose a spirit animal person, there are some criteria for it, right? You have to want to be like them. You have to want to emulate them. They are your heroes, kind of. And so that's one of the criteria. And some of the things, you have to have things in common. Is you think you have things in common. And here's the things, some of the things that I have in common with my spirit animal. Hang on a second. All right. I'm going to buzz in a minute. Okay. One of the things I have in common with her is that our daddies have very uncool names. Her dad was named Flanuel. Like Flanuel, you like that. My dad's name was Irvin L. Nerd names, they were both nerd names, okay. We both married young. In her culture and in her time, my spirit animal probably got married between ages 13 and 16, right? Pretty young, but that's their culture. In my culture, I got married young too, not 13, but I was 20, and that's kind of young, don't you think? I have a granddaughter about to get married, and she's 20, and I told her not to do it, and she said, "Well, when did you get married, Mimi?" And I said, "Well, I was 20. So, you know, I didn't, she's not listening. Also, in her culture, she was told she was to expect to have children, want to have children, and at least a few of them have to be boys. In my culture, same thing back in my day when I got married. I was expected to want children and have children. And I had boys. So, hey, I was way up there. Another thing is, in the first 7 years of our marriage, we were probably doing the same things, you know, a few years apart, but doing the same things. We're getting used to married life. We were decorating, furnishing, and probably dreaming about those nurseries that we were going to make for those babies we were going to have. Also, we both were taught to cook. I mean, in her culture, this woman probably cooked way better than me. She probably went out in her chicken coop and got her chickens and wrung their necks and then chopped the heads off and then plucked the feathers out of them and then chopped it up again and then threw it in a pan. Hang on a minute, I gotta find myself. I'm coming. Here. She threw it in a pan, and then by the end of the day, when her man came home, her table was spread out with chicken, biscuits and gravy, pecan pie. Okay, I'm stuck. Pecan pie, yes. You helped my lady in waiting help me get in this. Thank you. Thank you. Where's my sleeve? Oh, there it is. Thank you. Sorry. So she had her table spread. She had chicken, chicken, biscuits and gravy, pecan pie, cream corn, real cream corn. All that spread out for her man. When my man came home, he got scrambled eggs and frozen corn dogs. But we were in love. It didn't matter. We liked it. Okay. Another thing we had in common is that we both wanted forever. Her forever lasted 7 years, and then her husband died. My forever lasted 47 years. And then my husband died. In 47 years, we're good. But I'm here to tell you, there are never enough years. Never enough years to be with those you love, your soulmate. There are never enough. And there's several in the room that know that. I wanted to grow old with my husband. And I wanted the old people thing. You know, I wanted to do the rocking chair thing on the porch with 4,000 great-grandbabies jumping around, loving on me. I wanted that. I wanted for us to just hobble into the bathroom and pop out our dentures and brush them and pop them back in. And off the bed we would go. I wanted old people conversations, like he'd come in and say, "Honey, have you seen my glasses?" And I'd say, "Well, sugar pie, I have. They're right there on top of your head." See, I wanted those conversations. And I'm not going to get those conversations, but I wanted those conversations. And when she lost her man, the broken part of her heart cried out, "Now what?" When I lost my man, my broken part cried out, "Now what?" I had children, I had grandchildren, but the broken part of me cried out, "Why?" I mean, what? Now what? Not why not? Well, that cried out too. I shouldn't make fun of that. That cried out too. But now what? She cried, "Now what?" And I cried, "Now what?" Slide. You got my slide? There it is. Okay. The woman I'm talking about is Anna. Her name means what? Dr. Best. What does Anna mean in the Bible? You have a daughter named Anna. I'm not going to ask him anything anymore. Okay. What it means is grace and favor, okay? Favor. I thought he would know he has a daughter named that. Okay. But she was a prophetess, a servant, a preacher, and she proclaimed Jesus before Jesus could even speak. That's the part of the spirit animal about her that I love. But after her husband's death, you know, she was young after her husband died. But she ended up in Jerusalem, and I don't know if you've ever thought about that, those of you who know who Anna is, but how'd she get there? She was young, she was alone, and the region she was in was way up here in the Sidon region. Jerusalem was way down here, 150 miles, about a 6 to 10 day walk to get there. And a woman alone, should she have done that? Could she have done that? Well, I think probably, I don't know, I wasn't there. She probably hooked onto a caravan of people who were maybe going to Jerusalem for the Passover. But she stayed. She stayed in Jerusalem. And those 84 words tell us that she stayed. She was in the temple day and night, living in the temple day and night, praying and fasting and prophesying. And you know what that means, to be a prophet. She's relaying messages from God in the temple. And when you come to her story in Scripture, she is 84 years old, and she's still doing it. She's done it for years. And I don't think she was just in the temple making dinner and doing laundry. I don't think that was what she was doing, although she might have. But she was there because she loved her Lord. I think I got this right. There we go. She loved her Lord, and she did that. She listened to the call of God. Because listening to the call of God, wait for it, will bring you home, right? Say it, home, right? If you listen to God, you will go home. Well, the day that the Bible kind of interferes and interprets her life, I'm getting it. The day that happened was a very, very special day for her. Because on this day, she wasn't thinking about going home. Home came to her on this day. Oh, Father, do you hear that creak in me? But of course you do. You have good ears. You hear everything. But these bodies, Father, these bodies, while we still live in them, it means we're away from you. So how long, Father, will you make us wait? But I am thankful. That window, I am so thankful for that window and the warmth and the sun. The sunrise, it melts my heart, it melts my bones, and it makes me rejoice that the morning sun is yours, and you made it for me. I thank you for this cozy room that I've been able to live in, and that window I can look out into Jerusalem, and I see your people coming and going. Oh, Father, thank you. Wait. How long must we wait? How long was... Is that who I think it is? Look at the young man. Look at his bride. Look what she has in her arms. It is. It is. It is. I must hurry. He's here. I must hurry. I gotta get down there to see. Oh, can't go by slime. Oh, yeah. All right. Gotta go back down here. Oh, Simeon, that rascal. He beat me to it. Oh, but look at Simeon. God promised him he'd live until he saw the Messiah. And there's the Messiah. Look how tiny he is in Simeon's hands. And is that tears I see on Simeon's face? That old coot, he told me he didn't ever cry. He does. He's a big old softy. Okay. Big old softy. Look how tiny the baby is in his arms. I can't wait. Oh, they're coming this way. Okay, they're coming this way. Yeah, come on, come on. Wait. May I see? Oh, look at the little hands. Those hands will someday wipe away all of our tears. Oh, and those little tiny lips are so cute. It's so cute. One day, those lips will command death will be no more. No more loss. No more death. And he will grow. He will grow in wisdom, stature. He will be honored by his people. Oh, you gotta go? Okay. Well, bye. Thanks for coming. May our great God be with you. Bye. Today, I have seen our homeland. Our homeland came to me. And our homeland will no longer need the sun and the moon to give it light, because the glory of God will give it light. Our homeland gates by day will never be shut, no more. And there will be no night in our homeland. Thanks be to God for the Redeemer of Jerusalem is here. Thanks be our home where he will be his home, where I will be his home. Home. There are many who will not believe in heaven. Many, maybe in this room, who don't believe in heaven. But you're in a great place because somebody here does. And all you got to do is find your spirit animal and see if they will lead you closer to home. Home. I'm going to go home.